The Rights to Ricky Sanchez podcast is proudly presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. Sign up for DraftKings Sportsbook by using promo code RTRS. Brought to you by Big Barker Therapeutic Dog Beds. Get yours at bigbarker.com/Ricky. Also, a new t-shirt offer we will talk about. Briggs Auction, the official auction of the process at briggsauction.com. And Surfside Iced Tea and Vodka, the official sponsor of the Corner 3 newsletter with Zoe. Subscribe at rightstorickysanchez.com/newsletter. On the show today, let's fucking go. Not dead yet. We've all been waiting for that signature Joel Embiid playoff performance. Tonight was pretty good. What a fucking game. All right. Before we get going, well, first thing is, if you're watching on YouTube, please subscribe right there. Subscribe button. I think it's over there, over there. And turn on notifications. We're live after every playoff game. And if you turn on, if you subscribe and turn on notifications, you will get a little alert when we're here. I did mention Surfside Iced Tea and Vodka from Stateside. First of all, from Stateside, I don't even think I'm supposed to say this yet, but tomorrow morning, we're going to send out an email with, they did Stateside vodka bottles with the year logo, with a matte black label with gold like leaf of the logo. It looks fucking great. So that'll come out about 11 a.m. So we will send you an email tomorrow. But other huge news from Surfside, iced tea and vodka. New flavors. Mike, did you see this?
I did. Looks interesting.
Green tea and vodka, raspberry tea and vodka, raspberry lemonade and vodka, black cherry lemonade and vodka, strawberry lemonade and vodka. The rollout is happening across the country. If you're in Jersey or PA, it should be at your local store now or very, very soon. Rest of the country, it's coming. Surfside just does not rest, man. They're just all over the place. Only 100 calories, 3 grams of sugar, no carbonation. You don't get that bloat. And also, why would there be carbonation? There are no bubbles in iced tea. Surfside iced tea and vodka. Statesidevodka.com. You got to be 21. I'm sorry. I'm a little jittery. Here we go. Without any further ado, Amos and the Chef. Welcome to the Rights to Ricky Sanchez podcast. I'm Spike Eskin, along with a gentleman who is not dead, and neither are the Sixers. That is one, Mike Levin.
Man.
Here we fucking go, man.
Whoo.
Here we go.
This series, Brickin' for Chicken, a inter-Philadelphia sports media battle with Kyle Newbeck and Howard Eskin.
Oh, no, we're not talking about that. Fuck
no,
Kyle
I just,
Newbeck,
that's this yeah. Brickin' for Chicken. The okay. Vibe shift. Right. Okay. The vibe okay. Shift was
right.
There.
Okay, all right. Okay.
We did it. We got him. Man, that was such an ugly first half. What a disgusting half of basketball. Absolutely, Embiid should have gotten tossed. Thank you for not throwing him out of the game.
Definitely could have been. Definitely.
Yeah, in a regular season game, 100% he's tossed. Yep. Like, you can make the argument that he, like, was going to get landed on a little bit, sure, but, like, he was frustrated, and he grabbed him, and that's a dangerous play, and he probably should have gotten tossed. It is a play that I also 100% would have made. I do very dirty player things when I'm frustrated. He was frustrated.
Very frustrated.
Let's admit it. We come correct here. But what a third quarter from Joel. A 50-point game. Those threes, we've been talking about it every podcast. He gets more and more comfortable since he came back from injury hitting those straightaway threes. And he was 5 of 7 on those threes. And that
it seemed like he made massive. Like 9 in a row.
He did make 3 in a row, I believe, on 3 straight possessions.
Yeah.
A playoff career high, 50, 13 of 19, 19 of 21 from the line. I mean,
just
very good with whatever he's got going on with his eye and his mouth. I don't want to speculate. It's like too bizarre to fucking be doing this, but it doesn't seem to affect the way he's playing right now. So 50 points and a win. Thank God.
We were due a new ailment that was unexpected.
Yeah, the knee. We've done the knee. Enough with the knee.
Broken face. How about Bell's palsy? What about that? Just random popping up in the middle of the series. And also incredible from Nick Nurse when he is asked, is there anything wrong with Joel Embiid's eye? Nope. No. What are you talking about?
Okay.
Yep.
Normal stuff.
So I will continue to say this, that I think Embiid coming through in the fourth quarter of the Miami game was sort of telling in that we talked about it after the game, but we had seen Embiid mopey before and he just does it through the entire game and he doesn't come through in the end. And for all of the things that you could say about what he could have done in games one and two, he was still the best player on the floor. And he wasn't, you know, we do the plus minus thing, and it works even when he's not playing well. But I thought in games one and two, he was specifically like the best player on the floor and important. But here's what I thought was most important was in the, what are you reading?
Nothing.
Oh, okay. In the post game presser where he said that they're the better team and they're going to win. Forget about what it looks like, because a lot of people focused on the fact that he had his head down, which I think had to do with his eye. He sounded different. Like he has done the post game interview where he's like, you know, I think we're the better team. Like that thing. That's not what he was doing. He sounded like a guy who was frustrated and confident. And I just like, even though in the first half, he was way out of control, like completely out of control.
Yeah. I like the aggressiveness, but it was a lot of times he was embracing contact. I was worried like A, he was in foul trouble, offensive foul, and B, like how much can his body take of that? I was expecting it to wear down in the third.
Right. And in the first half, like aside from the crazy shit that could have got him thrown out of the game, I did like his look and his energy, like the look on his face. He was engaged. He fucking wanted it. Yeah. And you know, I actually wrote in the corner three today that I felt like even though we had not had the sort of playoff Embiid that we had always dreamed of so far, the 45 points, 17 rebounds, 7 assists guy or whatever, like I felt like he was different. And I thought tonight was a monstrous game for him, especially given the fact that he did lose control emotionally in the first half. And by the way, he's not the only reason they won the game. He was amazing. He said, we will get to everything else, but I am happy for him that with all that he is going through right now, the knee thing and the eye thing, which by the way, if that was going on with me, I probably wouldn't leave the house. Like you know what I mean? I'd probably be terrified of it. I don't know. He really came through and it felt like all playoffs, regardless of how it ends, he's been different. And the thing I said at the end of the newsletter was, I might be a little less optimistic in the future than I've ever been about him being healthy through an entire season in the playoffs. Like that part. But I am a little more optimistic that I know he's not going to go down without a fight. You know, and I thought tonight was, you know, you're down 2-0. A lot of teams come back and win game three, even if they get blown out the first two games. But they lost two heartbreakers, and especially with how game two ended. And they had a fight in this game. This was not one of those games where they came out hot and they were leading by 17 the whole time. Like they had a fight in this game, and he was a big part of it. And I'm pretty psyched that for him, and I'm pretty psyched they won it.
Yeah, I mean, he starts the game with a post-up, spins baseline, finishes through contact on that first play. He never makes that shot when he goes up baseline and hits it off the glass. That was a really good sign. And then I didn't think he did that good of a job as a passer tonight. How many assists did he have? He had 4 and 3 turnovers. It just seemed like he was, especially in the first half, kind of making lazy, not really engaged passes, not intentional, and having a little bit of tunnel vision. But Once he got cooking in the third quarter, he had three threes on back-to-back possessions, hit another one off the maxi pass at the end, to end the third, then draws a three-shot foul on Hartenstein when he doesn't give him any airspace. And then Brunson closes out. Alyssa said as Brunson closing out, she's like, he's like humping his leg, and he hits it anyway. I mean, that's just, those are just big, gutsy, ballsy shots when, once again, like, there's not that many options and not that many ways to score. We're going to talk about campaign. God bless campaign. But like Embiid hitting those shots was just enormous. And then he kept drawing fouls and he kept forcing it and they had to send doubles. And then they just did enough to survive. I was worried about the end. Like, you know, the first half was complete chaos. Mm-hmm. The first quarter was beyond chaos. Second quarter, the Knicks started getting on the glass, which was annoying. 43 points in the third quarter, threes all over the place. I thought that a little too much running clock in the fourth.
A little too much prevent defense.
Yeah. A little kneeling on the ball a little early there, pal. Taking the air out of everything. But I think probably Joel was maybe tired. And honestly, I was like, who can I blame for this? Tobias wasn't even in. You couldn't blame Tobias for them like starting to cough it up in the fourth. But they did enough to win. I didn't think their defense as a team was that good. The Knicks hit shots. Brunson got going for sure. 39 points and 13 assists. And they still got 11 offensive rebounds, shooting a better percentage. I don't think they boxed out that well. They didn't high point balls as much as you'd want them to. But a couple like really big plays from the role players, and Embiid carried them. Man, it is a really, obviously the season is over if they lose this game. Knicks fans in the building, you gotta, you know. Mitchell Robinson goes down. I like Precious Achiuwa. I've always had like a little soft spot for Precious. I think he's a tough competitor and physical and switches and can, you know, is really athletic. But you gotta punish that. And they did enough. They did enough to win. They won as close to comfortably as this Sixers team can ever win.
Which, by the way, is not comfortable.
Not comfortable at all.
Not even a little bit. The Rights Ricky Sanchez podcast is brought to you by Big Barker Therapeutic Dog Beds. A special offer from Big Barker. That is right. A limited edition t-shirt. Throw it up there, CJ. There it is. Of Rebel dunking on two guys. With it looks like a magazine cover from Slam, except it says Bark. It's, if you buy the Big Barker dog bed, and we will put the link in the chat right now, and we will put it in the description because it's not at bigbarker.com/Ricky. You go to that link. I think there's like less than 50 shirts there. First come, first serve. You get a Big Barker dog bed, the t-shirt designed by Ricky listener Mike Pfeffer. He was like, what do you want? And I was like, make Rebel dunking. And that's what he did. So there it is. Now, along with the fucking t-shirt, you get the only dog bed on the market that is going to keep your dog healthier. That is what they started it for. Eric, who started Big Barker, was like, you know, there's no beds that are supportive enough for my dog, his dog who has passed away since Hank. There's no beds that are supportive enough. Why don't they make beds that support the dog's joints? And he got to it. And that's where Big Barker came from. It's engineered by experts to keep your dog's joints healthy. Go to that link for the t-shirt, or you can go to bigbarker.com/Ricky, but I suggest you go to the link for the t-shirt. You get the Big Barker dog bed, and it's even been proven by PenVet that it keeps your dog healthier. It proves a reduction in pain severity, an improvement in joint function, a reduction in joint stiffness. All that stuff happens as your dog gets older. And the thing that I always tell you is, imagine if you slept on a bad bed for one night. You would feel terrible the next morning. Now imagine you slept on it for two nights, three nights, four nights. If you put your dog on a bed that comes from the pet store, one of those regular dog beds, that's how your dog's going to feel. But your dog can't talk, so it's not going to tell you. That's why I'm telling you. Get your dog a Big Barker dog bed. Comes in the Barker Jr., which is for tiny little dogs, all the way to the extra large, which could fit two CJs on it. So I suggest, if you have a dog and you love your dog, the only way to prove it is to get your dog a Big Barker. There's a 10-year warranty. The foam won't flatten, or they replace it for free. A 1-year at-home trial. If you don't like it, if your dog won't sleep on it, which can happen occasionally, they'll give you a full refund. They'll even pay for the shipping. It's handmade in the USA. Big Barker dog beds.
Whoa!
Okay. So,
have you seen the on-off Embiid yet?
No, what is
series?
It?
No. On court, in 116 minutes, Joel is a plus 33. When Joel is on the bench, in just 28 minutes, the Sixers are a minus 32.
There you go.
It's just always how it goes, man. Even when he's not, I mean, even when he's not at his best, he's obviously not moving that well. He's obviously not jumping that well. You know, every time he rotates over to Brunson, Jalen's going to make that pocket pass to hit Hartenstein for that floater. It seemed like Hartenstein hit 75 of those tonight. Joel did a good job getting him in foul trouble to make it hard on him and make him, you know, a little less willing to contest as much as he would. And he's just still a fucking great shot blocking threat, dude. He's a great shot blocking threat. Josh Hart goes all the way to the rim in transition and he has to adjust for Embiid and he misses badly. And then Maxey gets the hit ahead pass in transition. Like, there's so many things Joel does just simply by being on the court. And we've been talking about it for years, is really nice in this game against a tough team that is a defensive minded Tom Thibodeau coach team, that Joel does all the little things that he always does, still is hurt because that's the only way that the playoffs go, and had his like, hey, my stat line is fucking 58-4. Like, it's on 19 shots, 50 points, 19 shots.
19 shots. Harden-esque, awesome. Some would say. Harden-esque.
A little Harden-esque.
Yeah. Oh, heavy slime in the chat. Look at that. A little heavy slime in the chat. Fuck, what was I going to say? Talking about Embiid. I thought
that the way they Jalen just did a better, defensively, Jalen just did a better job of dealing with the Sixers, whatever, however they played him. You know, like, he was more comfortable in the mid-range. He did a good job of, like, starting and stopping, getting downhill, pulling up on a dime, drawing fouls. He went to the line 12 times.
He's a good scorer.
He's just really good. Yeah, he's just really good. Yeah. I like, obviously, there were a couple, hey, man, be really careful with, you know, slapping down there. Watch your body control. Don't give him the easy ones. He just hit a bunch of tough shots. There were a couple open threes that he took where you're like, come on. And a couple nobody rotated over type things, and you just got to keep them in front of you. But those tough ones, those tough mid-range where he's like jab, jab, pull up, whatever, if you can just stay disciplined on those and not bite on the jump, then like those are tough shots. And I'm ultimately fine with those. I really am. Like, I'm ultimately fine with those. I'd rather have that than wide open Hartenstein floaters or lobs or whatever. Like, you just make him make tough shots and he can make them, but they're A, inefficient, especially if you don't foul him, and B, like, he's going to get tired. He played 45 minutes tonight. And then Josh Hart keeps hitting threes. He was 4 of 8 tonight. He's hit 4 threes in each of the games. He's just really good. He's just a basketball player. He's a gamer. He's not a good shooter.
He's not a unitasker. Right,
he's a basketball player. He's not Matisse. He's not even like, you know, he's not Ben Simmons. He's hitting shots. He's hitting shots.
He's a good player. What do you want?
Look, they're going to have to pick. But I would just, again, prefer those Brunson tough mid ranges are 2 points. The Josh Hart open threes are 3 points. I'd rather give up the tough contested twos. That's it. But good for Josh for continuing to make Nick Nurse pay. They didn't play the same system the entire game defensively. They tried to throw different looks at him. When Brunson getting going forced Lowry to have to double a little bit more and help in that middle. And then when Lowry helps middle, then Josh Hart's open for three and he hit him. I mean, it's just like the Sixers, they gave up 114 points. The Knicks just played well offensively. They got too many. The most frustrating thing is when Jalen is not in the game, the Knicks do not have many players who can dribble.
No, it's just McBride and Hart to an extent.
Even those, they're not like, they're not making plays for others. They're not making plays off the bounce, like against a set defense. Like, those guys can attack second side. They can attack a weaker defender. They can attack a big on a switch, whatever. But like, when you have your defenders in front of them and Jalen Brunson is not on the court, the Knicks should not score in the half court. And too often they, like, Kelly Oubre's playing like too high up on OG or Deuce and just gets blown by. Tobias like isn't sturdy enough to stand there and like get in somebody's way and make them take a tough shot over him. Like, there was just, they couldn't match up in transition over and over and over again. That is brutal, man. They just get back cut. They're not paying attention. They don't communicate in transition. They seem to not, they have tunnel vision looking at their guy. It kills me. Luckily their offense was as good as it was. And Embiid hit those threes and they shot 15 of 31 from deep because like those, they got to clean that shit up. They got to clean it up and they keep not doing it.
Well, I mean, the teams are who they are at this point. Like, I don't think we're going to see the coming into the game or coming into the series. The Knicks were a really good offensive rebounding team. The Sixers are a very bad rebounding team overall. So getting killed on the glass is just like, I don't know what, especially with a sort of compromised Embiid. I don't even know if that's going to change. What's wild out of all of this is that, and I will go to my grave thinking about this, is that the series could be 3-0. So it's just fucking crazy. Sure. So we've gone 22 minutes. I feel like can we please talk about campaign?
Campaign, let's go.
Oh.
I'm seeing Quinyon Mitchell or Zach Berman.
Cornerback. Yep. Quinyon Mitchell.
Cool. How he gets a cornerback.
Yeah. Everybody's happy with the fucking cornerback there. There we go. So it took like the 17th straight useless Buddy Hield appearance.
Tough.
For Nick Nurse to finally, and it was the open three. He was open.
Yeah.
He was Josh Hart open on that corner three.
Yeah.
And
off of a B-ball offensive rebound and kick out.
He bricked it and also smoked a layup, which is every single game.
It was a contested layup, but like it's a contested layup because Buddy is not fast enough or athletic enough to get all the way to the rim. Buddy did have one incredible rotation to stop a wide open Mitchell Robinson dunk, which was really, really nice. So good for him. We got to give him credit for that.
Yeah. It's not like he's not hustling.
No, and he's playing pretty well defensively. He's playing better than you expect defensively, but he just can't get open. He just can't get open. If you're not going to be able to get open, like you're too slow, you need too much airspace to get the shot off, like you can't play.
So finally, literally 60 seconds after I tweet that I'm going to lose my mind if he plays Hield over campaign one more time, he puts campaign in, and I truly believe those two threes and I think it was to save the game. Like I'm trying not to overstate this, but campaign has big fucking balls.
Sure.
He does not give a fuck. He is happy to be out there. When we have other Sixers who are sort of clenching a little bit from the pressure, you can be sure that campaign is not fucking scared. That guy is a fucking hooper, and I'm glad that he played. I'm sick of hearing, well, we can't have two small guards in the backcourt. You know what we can't have? Buddy Hield not shooting and fucking bricking threes. Yeah. And if Melton's not going to play, which it doesn't seem like he's going to, you got to play campaign. Those were huge buckets from campaign. Fucking, and energy, by the way. Not just huge buckets, but great energy from campaign.
Yeah, for sure. I like that Melton's available. I'm fine that he didn't play tonight. They won. I wouldn't rule out, if he's made available, I wouldn't rule out that he couldn't possibly come in and make a difference at some point. Cam just like immediately finds Batum in the corner for a three and then hits two big snap to grid threes. He's absolutely overtaken Buddy Hield in the rotation. The rest of the series, Buddy cannot see the floor. Just cannot. You can't try it. You can't try it again. It's over for the series. Maybe next series, things reset. If we get there, God willing, but you can't try it again. He's done. Sit him on the bench. He hits a floater. That was a big shot. Sixers Adam noted that like his ability to stay ready, and he's been, you know, everyone's been saying like how pissed off Cam is about not playing. He's like, he wants minutes. Nick Nurse, like, he's
even
really
Nick Nurse said it. Yeah.
He wants minutes. It's frustrating. And it's like, yeah, they needed some more on ball juice. Kyle Lowry, God bless him. Nick Batum, God bless him. Can't do much with the ball in their hands anymore. They're not creating that much. They're not getting all the way to the rim. They're not using their speed to get other guys open or burning them if they double off him. And he just hits shots. He can get hot. I really like the campaign Kyle Lowry combination when Maxey's on the bench. That's just like, if with just one of them, you're feeling a little bit lacking. With both of them, you start to have a little bit of juice on both sides. He hits a step back three over Isaiah Hartenstein. He's 11 points in 16 minutes. He gets two blocks, which were kind of strips. A really good, crisp, like high-low pass to B-ball on the dunker that draws a foul. Another one to a rolling B-ball that drew a foul. He plays with energy. He plays with juice. He can hit shots. And he's just a little bit fast. And this Knicks team is so fast for everybody else except for Maxey seems so slow. And it's nice to have somebody that goes like, hey, we're by you. It's just really nice. It's a total breath of fresh air. He got the fourth quarter interview. Like, you just need Nick Batum in the heat game. Campaign now. This is what these guys need once in a while. Not all the time. Can't count on it. But once in a while, somebody needs to step up every game and just have like those were a collection of huge plays. And all of those shots, 11 points on seven shots, really, really big. Really big.
Huge. They don't win the game without Campaign.
No, definitely not.
The Rights to Ricky Sanchez podcast is brought to you by Briggs Auction, a four-generation, family-owned and operated auction house in Delaware County. You may be saying to yourself, the fuck do I give a fuck about a fucking auction house for? Well, because they have cool stuff every week. And a lot of times you can get it cheaper than it's even worth. They have auctions every week, collectibles, art, furniture, clothing, BriggsAuction.com, BriggsAuction.com, or download the app in Google Play or the App Store. The CJ Briggs Auction item of the week is...
Yeah, this one was a chat recommendation from Tom in the Twitch chat. We got a Japanese King Golf slot machine. This thing is cool. It reminds me, I had a friend growing up who had like arcade, like pinball machines in their basement, and it was like the best place to be.
Oh, yeah.
On planet Earth. So,
yep. Everyone has a friend whose parents have video games in the basement. At a pool table. That's cool. By the way, the Herman Miller chair that you put up there is up to $400, which is still a bargain.
Still a good deal.
Yeah, still a good deal. A third of retail price. Again, go to BriggsAuction.com. That's BriggsAuction.com, or download the app in the App Store or Google Play as well. Oh, and by the way, if you win an auction, I've won several. CJ has won several. You can either pick it up. Open pickup is on Saturdays, or make an appointment, or they'll work with you on a shipper. And if you need to get rid of a bunch of stuff, maybe the video games in your basement, send an email to info@BriggsAuction.com. You can't take the stuff anywhere else. Briggs Auction, the official auction of the process. Oubre or Tobias, what do you want to do?
Woj just tweeted that Embiid has been treated for a mild case of Bell's palsy for the past week.
Oh, there you go.
The condition began during the play-in victory over Miami, but he has wanted to keep it private to avoid distractions for his team.
Yeah. So I mentioned on the air yesterday when we were talking about the eye thing, I was like, leave it to the Sixers for there to be something that is obviously wrong with him, deny that it is, and then everyone just sort of makes up what they think is wrong with him. They really fill the vacuum. But I also mentioned, and we've talked about this on the pod, I think Embiid is specifically sensitive about new injuries coming out about him because he doesn't like being perceived as injury prone, you know? Yeah. So I can't believe he's playing. Now, look, people get Bell's palsy. It eventually just goes away. I think that's what happens. I don't think there's much you can do. But like, forget about physically or whether he can see. Mentally, that's gotta be a huge strain. For it's gotta sure. be fucked up to look it's, in the mirror.
It's just so much.
Yeah.
It's just so much for him, man.
It never stops.
No.
It literally never stops.
Hopefully it's all right and goes away and it's fine.
Well, it usually goes away. My father-in-law had it. It sucks. It can stay for a few months, but I think it just goes away. I think that's what happens.
We need to talk about Maxi. A kind of a weird performance from him, I think.
Yeah. He had a couple of moments.
He had a couple great moments. I mean, that sidestep three, that sidestep jumper felt like it was going off. He's such a hard cover when he has that, when step back, sidestep, whatever. He was 3 of 8 from deep. It felt like kind of part of the issue about Embiid being so aggressive and looking for his own shot in the first half kind of took Maxi out of it a little bit. It didn't feel like, and part of maybe that was also just like the rhythm of the game and having so many replay reviews and bullshit. So it seemed like he just kind of wasn't there. Then he got hot in the third quarter after he had that pick six on Dante DiVincenzo. Love him blowing up a dribble handoff or a little like half-hearted pass. And then the three started falling, man. And without Mitch back there, he felt really comfy getting to the rim and fending off Precious Achiuwa, got to his mid range, 7 assists, 1 turnover, 41 minutes. It was like a kind of a regular day at the office type game from Maxi, 25-7-4 on 21 shots. Like that's solid, unremarkable, but that's just how good he is right now. He's just very incredibly competent all areas of the floor. Had a couple like maybe indecisive moments or not exactly a little loose with the ball or less crisp than could have been otherwise. But him getting leaned on all series by guys that are bigger than him and stuff, it's going to take its toll. And just like I'm saying, Brunson is going to start to miss or make mistakes if you force him to do everything as long as he's on the court. It's the same thing with Maxi.
Yeah, I thought it was a, to your point, I just thought it was a solid, normal game for Maxey, but hit a few big shots. They keep him in there. Look, he was great in the first two games. He's 23, you know, there's a lot on him to be the second best player and a lot of times the best offensive player if Embiid doesn't have it.
Totally. Most improved award
yes,
winner.
Congratulations, very Tyrese. Exciting. So I thought it was, I thought it was a good game from him. And, you know, as good as Jalen Brunson is, and if, you know, if you had to have one to win a championship today, you'd probably take Brunson. But he's outplayed Brunson, like, largely for this series, which I think is pretty impressive, which is good with as good as Jalen Brunson has been this year.
Yeah, for sure. Oubre, after two games of having pretty great defense and not great offense, I think it totally flipped in this one. He was excellent offensively, started off with a patient drive to the rim, finishes with a big two-hand dunk. I thought that was a nice tone setter, and drills a three on a pick and roll with Joel. After being pretty hesitant from three for a while now, which is not something I like.
No.
Even if he misses, I need him to get him up. He felt much more ready to pull, took four threes, hit two, which honestly felt like more when I was watching. Caught an Embiid air ball and dunked it. I could kiss him. I love him. Thank you for dunking. Has a nice big cut from the corner. Embiid finds him again. That's like the only, the movement has from earlier in the season has totally gone away. There's like not much movement. There's not much flow to the game anymore. It is just like grind, grind, grind. But Embiid and Kelly have a little bit of that nice chemistry where Kelly cuts middle or cuts off the corner. And he found him there. That was a big shot. And When Embiid gets going and Kelly is willing to shoot from three, like they can't double off. It's just like everything. That's why I love about basketball. It's also fucking connected that like if Kelly is not willing to shoot from three, then his guy can double off easier.
Right.
And then that makes it harder for Embiid. Or he's got to at least be a cutting threat and get Embiid backdoor, whatever.
Which, by the way, we haven't really seen since Embiid has been back from Kelly. Like, it was so good in the first part of the year, and then Embiid disappeared and Kelly went into sort of like normal Kelly mode.
Yeah.
Would be nice to see it. But also, I'm sorry to interrupt, but no. I also think the Knicks are... It's playoffs, which he hasn't been in the playoffs in 6 or 7 years and hasn't played this particular role in the playoffs. Yeah, the Knicks are physical with that. Like everything's hard. So all that cutting, you're going to get bumped. You're going to get pushed. You're going to, and they try to take everything out of rhythm. Nick Nurse even said before the game today, by the way, that they needed to get Oubre some more shots.
Totally. I mean, he had 38 minutes tonight. Like
yeah.
It is when I liked the signing in the offseason, I did not expect it would be this much Kelly, but they've wrung every ounce of everything they could out of him. And the passing has continued to be helpful, man. He had three assists tonight, a gorgeous drive and bounce pass to B-ball for a dunk once he drew Mitch coming over. A really nice one in transition, finding Tobias for a dunk. Plays that the Sixers would have easily like just put their head down and biffed in the pass. It's nice. The defense I thought was pretty rough after playing better in the past few games. He gets back cut so easily off ball. He gets overly reachy sometimes. He's out of position sometimes, and OG can just make an easy straight line drive. And he always plays a little bit too lackadaisical off shooters off the catch. It's tough. The guy I trust the most on shooters is Batum, but the guy I trust the most on Brunson is also Batum. So it's kind of tough to do it. But it was overall really solid, especially offensively. Game from Oubre and Nico, man, like defensively, that guy is just so helpful. Lowry's been helpful also, but like the length and the awareness and just like he saves more than any player in the Joel Embiid era outside of Joel Embiid. Nick Batum has saved so many people's asses with like contests. Sometimes doesn't get the shot, but obviously the blocks he had, I counted three big blocks today. Maybe they gave him credit for one steal. He blocks a Brunson drive. That was huge. Deuce McBride got an offensive rebound off a Brunson missed free throw. And it was the TNT had a bad camera angle on it. So it was like, you couldn't really tell what was going on, but Deuce got the rebound and was about to put it up and Oubre or Batum blocked him from behind. That was huge. And then the biggest play of the game, which would have cut it to like 5 or 6, a little too close for comfort, was blocking a Hartenstein dunk from behind, which was just a massive, massive play. And again, he hits another three after being very cold for much of the regular season. He's really, after that Miami game, the second half of that Miami game, he's just become a very willing 3-point shooter. And that just matters. Like, we can't be trigger happy. Like, we just cannot.
No. Nope.
And
we want to be trigger happy.
Great. We must be trigger happy is what I meant to say.
There you go.
That's what we have to be doing.
Yeah.
So good. It's, I mean, yeah, I love him. Yeah. I love him and he's great. And I wish that we got him like 6 years ago. So he's still a little bit more like offensive juice. That's not just stand there or make the right pass or something. It'd be like if 27-year-old Nick Batum was here, like he could just be the third guy right now. Like that'd be fine for that. Like Chris Middleton style. Like that's right. Go do it. But he's not quite in rhythm as an offensive player more than just like catch and shoot and the occasional good like cut middle for a pass.
Yet you were talking about Batum. I wanted to jump back to, well, Oubre for a second. Ike mentioned today, like he was like, so Ike likes only chuckers, Ike Reese. He likes shooting, loves scoring. But he was saying,
have some of that strain in you as well.
I do. I love bucket getters. But he was talking about Maxey shooting 30 times and Embiid shooting 30 times. And he's like, the other guys on the floor, because I like shooting so much, but he was talking about Oubre. He was like, the other guys on the floor need shots or they go dead. Like that's when you stop getting movement and stuff like that. And I think with Oubre specifically, he has worked very hard defensively, and rewarding him with the ability to shoot at the start of the game and saying, go get it. And like, we want you to score, I think is particularly meaningful with somebody like Oubre. And you're right about Batum. Like the specific thing about Batum is that he is not allowed to retire. We have been waiting for players like Kyle Lowry and Nick Batum to be on the Sixers for the entire time we've been doing the podcast. And Nick Batum, you must not retire. We need one more year out of you, Nick Batum. The Right's Ricky Sanchez podcast is presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. So Sixers opened up as 4.5-point favorites for game three. Which is a pretty big swing considering the Knicks were 4.5-point favorites for games one and two. So basically like a 10-point swing from one court to the other. And they open up as a 4.5-point favorite in game four as well. And let me look at the series.
I wonder what Mitchell Robinson's status is going to be.
Yeah. Well, he came in, his ankle was still hurt at the beginning of this, right? At the beginning of the series.
Yeah.
Knicks now -250 favorite, and the Sixers are +205 to win the series. So there you go. We love DraftKings Sportsbook. With the NBA playoffs going on, you can't miss any of the action with DraftKings Sportsbook. You can do same game parlays. You can bet futures. I just stare at the odds sometimes. I'll keep looking at the line throughout the day just to see what people are thinking. I think they have a line on injury status, and I see if the line moves before an injury is mentioned. I love DraftKings Sportsbook. The app is great. You put your money in, it goes right in. You want to take the money out, comes right out. There's also the casino in there too. And with the NBA playoffs, there's no other place to go. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code RTRS. That is code RTRS. New customers bet $5. You get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code RTRS only on DraftKings. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Got to be 21. See show notes for details.
Tobias.
You know, I'll give Tobias this.
8-5.
I'll give Tobias this. Forgetting about the offensive rebound and missed layup, which was just fucking a punch in my dick. Just the hardest punch in my dick.
Yeah.
He's trying very hard.
On the Tobias scale, he's definitely trying more than normal.
Yeah, that's all. Amos said today that he looks like Vince Carter in his last year.
I might prefer Vince Carter in his last year. It's tough, man. They tried to get him to bully Brunson because like, if you're covering Tobias Harris or Jalen Brunson, like make him pay. And Tobias takes like a 19 footer on him. And it's just like, come on, dude. He did one time have a nice seal on OG where he really puts him in jail underneath the basket. And it was a good Nico pass that he got a layup off of. Like Maxey and Tobias both got the first 50-50 balls that set the tone of like energy level that is necessary. That sort of went away because of how clunky the first half was. Tobias got a tip off of a maxi drive, got another, a couple low boards, missed that bunny. Like you said, he misses those camera side wing threes every time when you can see it and it's right in line with like the hard cam.
Yeah. It's going to go too far.
I'm like
every time
I'm never thinking that this is going in. And I'm looking, sometimes I'm like, okay, maybe if I look at just him reacting to it instead of the path of the ball, then it'll go in. And no matter where I look, I think honestly, I'm immaterial to whether the shot goes in or not.
Hard to believe.
That's frustrating to me. Yeah. I want to make a difference here. But yeah, 0 for 2 from 3 in 33 minutes is ridiculous. Doesn't get to the line once. Had a B-ball wide open on a roll one time, didn't hit him, took a contested step back 18 footer instead. You know, his on-ball D is fine sometimes. He's at least learned back taps. I think Kyle Lowry has taught him how to like slap the ball away, which is kind of nice. Mm-hmm. But like, man, off-ball defense.
He is trying hard.
They go to Brunson. Tobias tags a rolling Mitch, but he tags him from like the upper wing, like pretty high up. And then he goes all the way down with him. And Boyan just like kind of rotates over. And then the ball gets very easily swung to Boyan. And he's 25 feet away from the guy he should be covering. He's so far. And Boyan has never missed against us. Honestly, the fact that Boyan is 1 for 3 in the game I'm happy every time Boyan Bogdanović is not in the game. If I'm them, I'm playing a little bit less, either Anunoby or Hart. They're both playing big minutes. DiVincenzo wasn't great tonight. I'm pleased because of how automatic he is from three against us. I am pleased whenever Boyan is not in the game. And so if I'm the Knicks, I would rather be playing him. But we're just dealing with the Tobias thing, and you know, we're just dealing with it. It's not going to get, the effort is there and that's nice, but like, holy shit, dude. Once the season is over, hopefully in a few months, then we will have the conversation about how much of a waste of time and contract and how hurt this organization has been
nice
by trading for Tobias with those picks, trading for an expiring Tobias so that they can then give him the most money they could possibly give him and saddle Joel with this guy who just like isn't that good at anything for years. Mm-hmm. And like, is he capable? Is he a professional sometimes? Absolutely. Did he help them out in some of those years? Was he better in the past?
Sometimes.
AU reminded us of him scoring like over 20 in every game of that Hawks series, except for one. He wasn't the problem for all of it, but he was never the solution. And right now he's pretty much the problem because they just need some other people to step up because of, you know, Maxi can't do it all and Embiid's banged up. You just wish you had somebody, anybody that could just take over a little bit. And Tobias is just not that guy. He really is not that guy. And it is crushing how much time has been wasted with him making as much money as he possibly could on this team for that long. Mm-hmm. And like, I'm sure
$500,000 a game.
I'm sure he's mattered. I'm sure everybody likes him. I like him. He was great on this podcast. I think he's a sweet guy. And I think he's a solid basketball player. But in this stage on this team, he has been such a bad fit and a bad
Sixers win a huge game. Mike finally unleashes on Tobias.
It's just so much money. It's so much of the salary cap is given to Tobias, and it's just like if he was making the mid level, then you could go like, okay, that's fine. Other guys stepping in, whatever. But so much money has been given to Tobias for him to be playing forgettable or detrimental basketball for much of his time here, and it's almost over.
You know, to jump back to Buddy Hield for one second, because you mentioned Boyan Bogdanović. MOC wrote a thing about the five, Mike O'Connor, who writes for us at the Ricky, about five takeaways from the series so far before this game. You can subscribe to his writing at writes.rickysanchez.com. You should do that, please. Subscribe to all of our writers. It's free. But he just mentioned like Daryl's trade deadline moves. And like, I think you can debate some of them, but The idea of trading for Hield, and on this podcast saying he was the best player traded at the deadline.
Yeah. When, doesn't look that way now for sure.
No, not, it doesn't. They probably, if it was possible, should have just traded for Bogdanović. He's better than Hield by like tenfold, you know?
Yeah.
Just saying. He wouldn't be afraid to shoot Bogdanović. That guy's never afraid.
That's true. I mean, yeah, Bogey has had, and he shoots it higher. He needs less airspace. The Knicks have been frustrated with Bogey. He was in a funk for a little while also. Yeah. It always feels like it hurts more when it's your guy. Truthfully, nobody of real, true substance was traded at the deadline.
Except for campaign.
Really makes a difference. Yeah, I mean, but Pat Bev is playing you know, important basketball for Milwaukee also. The Lowry pickup was big.
It was massive.
That colored why we weren't in love with the deadline. Lowry, I thought, was great. He was second in the team in plus minus plus 11, 31 minutes from a guy who's 75 years old.
He's great every game, by the way.
He just does his job very well. Like the biggest Kyle Lowry thing, they have a couple things to say about him, but the biggest one is this is the first time all series that they got beat repeatedly with a rolling big. Because mm-hmm. they had to step up to Brunson because he was hitting those shots, and they got beat with rolling big. It was like dunk, 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 and tried to do it again with Achiuwa, and Lowry just steps in from the weak side to draw the charge on him. And it's just like, that's just the right play. That is just the right play. That is Kyle Lowry making the fucking right play once again and saving a bucket. And that was big. And he had two big free throws late after missing two in game two, a huge pull up when both guys went with Joel on the roll. He had this same play happened last game. Maxie drives right and Lowry drifts to the left corner and Maxie finds him in the corner, hits another three. Happened last game too. Had a nice bucket off an inbounds pass. The fact that they got anything out of an inbounds pass is a miracle. It was a great cut from Lowry and a great pass from Maxie. And you know, he's going to do his grift stuff. It's nice when he's on our team. He strips an OG post up that he probably fouled him on. He baits Dante DiVincenzo into transition foul and gets him frustrated.
The charge he took was enormous, by the way. Yeah. And the grifty stuff. Yeah. Amazing, by the way, that he does it. Like, yeah.
And Brunson does it too. Like I mean, he's not the only guy, but like, it's nice to have your role players be smart. And that's what I've been saying with Lowry and Batum for a really long time. Your role players either be really smart or have to, like, you can make up for, okay, the threes aren't falling, but I'm still really smart in these other ways, and I can win you possessions with my brain, and it's very nice. Last guy to talk about, B-ball fucking Paul. 7 minutes, held up, fought in the glass.
Great offensive rebounds, by the way.
Couple big ones, and he wasn't doing anything kooky with him, right? He just got the rebound and kicked it out. He got fouled a couple times. He didn't even think about it. I don't know.
No.
He got an assist. B-ball's great, man.
Every time B-ball touches the ball and has possession of it, do you start to think... What goes through my brain is, no, 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 don't do this to me. Don't do this to me. Don't do this to me. He wants to cook literally every time he touches the ball. He's like Oubre in that way, except that Oubre is a guard, you know? He wants to cook. Yeah.
He's great. And had a dunk. I love every time he dunks. And the dunk
was foul on the fourth when they were in the penalty.
But that's Brunson selling it. That's doing what he's supposed to do. Lowry would have done the same thing. And B-ball's dunk, I will say, you made the point last pod that sometimes dunks are just like momentum swings for the crowd. I think his dunk was off of after the Josh Hart lob to Mitchell Robinson, mm-hmm. and B-ball's dunk was the play after that. And just like, sometimes you just need somebody to dunk the goddamn ball. And thank you, B-ball, for doing it after we got on him many times this year for not dunking it. Yeah. The last thing I'll say, I do still think that Ricky Council should play a role in this series. I'm surprised that Nick hasn't gone to him. I think the campaign move was nice. There's a chance that he doesn't. I don't think Buddy should play at all this rest of the series.
No.
I think he's done. I think you go with Batum, B-ball, and campaign as the final three rotation guys. And if Cam's not getting anything going, or Tobias is busted again, or Lowry's not, whatever it is, I think Ricky Council needs to be, especially if Melton's not ready, needs to be the next guy. He's just a really good rebounder, and he's really athletic, and he can get you those plays, and he can get line, like just steal you a couple minutes here and there. I didn't love that they played some Maxie and Embiid both on the bench minutes, but if you're going to do that, Ricky Council, like let him cook, let him try, let him go to the basket, see if he gets fouled. I get the concern of playing like a sort of haphazard rookie, but
guy that didn't even have a contract to the last day of the season.
That's it. Well, they wanted to
I know.
Set our expectations and build up to it and yeah. reveal it. That's the momentum they need to go into the playoffs with the rookie contract. But anyway, I still think he should be in the cards, and I really think that Buddy should be, you know, on ice the rest of the series for sure.
I agree with you on Buddy. Last two things, non-specifically basketball related, and I probably say this twice a year. And I think there was extra attention on the refs this game. And by the way, all the petitioning and whining in the world, I don't think made any difference in this.
No. They're replaying the end of game two, like now.
It's right now. Okay, yeah, good.
It's on. Turn it on.
The NBA has to do something about players complaining to the refs after literally every single shot they take. It's fucking annoying.
It's definitely annoying, but the alternative is like the refs doing more technical fouls.
Yeah, but just give them a technical every time they bitch and then it's over. It would take two games. And then the other thing with the refs, well, whatever. I don't want to get into a ref debate, but it's annoying. And Maxi has gotten all of a sudden really guilty of it. Maxi complains a lot about calls. It's like, everybody it's does. Knicks it's players everybody. Too. It's everybody. It's just annoying. Yeah. And the second thing is,
I do it.
Shocking.
On my couch and on the court. I play like this. I don't play like that. When I play, I'm pretty intense.
Mike playing basketball.
I'm in my prime. Honestly,
sign me.
Did I ever play the Get Hot, the new song that somebody played? Remember I sent to you via text?
I don't think you did send it. Yeah, a lot of songs floating around the Ricky universe that make me a little bit uncomfortable.
Oh, come on. It's great. We never mentioned the AU song.
I know.
The Batum song. It was actually...
People like the Batum song.
Oh my God, it was great. Do you know the original? Do you know that POD song or no?
Yeah. Okay. Here Comes the Boom, right? Is that what it's called?
Well, it's called Boom by POD. But the funniest part about that song was AU texting me early in the day. If I record a parody song about Nick Batum to POD's Boom, which by the way came out 25 years ago and was only like a moderate hit on rock radio, he goes... Could CJ do a video for that? And I'm just looking at the text. AU wants to do what? Wants to make a parody song?
God bless him. Mitchell Robinson walking out of... What were you going to say that, CJ?
About the Batum video, I was going to say, Spike, you texted me saying like, oh, can you just like add the lyrics and put up like a picture of him on it?
Yeah.
And then I opened the doc that AU sent me and it was like cited with multiple sources. he made the entire script for the video, which was incredible. Like it was great.
Woj
tweeted that Mitchell Robinson left with a walking boot.
Oh, wow. Here is the other song.
They just gotta get hot. They gotta get hot. They gotta hit the shots. They gotta stay healthy. They gotta get downhill. They gotta get to the line. And they gotta get to the rim. They gotta not fucking double too much. They gotta force them to take tough shots.
There we go. The other thing, I don't think we can do the pod without mentioning the fact that 60% of the crowd was Knicks fans. Now,
60?
Well, it was, if you look at, so I got a text from somebody.
The broadcast certainly kept fucking showing them, at least TNT did. There were like a lot of lower ball behind the Knicks bench.
I got a text from the guy named Dave, who was like, this is embarrassing. I've never seen anything like it. And Sixers Adam was like blown away by it. And like maybe it was 50%, whatever it was. It was so much that, forgetting about the noise that they make, when the Sixers were doing great things, the place just wasn't like loud enough. And look, I get it. Knicks fans are priced out of their own building because Turtle and Ben Stiller pay $25,000 for courtside seats and tickets are too expensive. And I also get if you have tickets, you're like, fuck this team. I'm making $100 on my tickets. I'm not going to the game. I don't know what else to say other than like, I get it from the Sixers fan point of view. I get it from the Knicks fan point of view. It is kind of a bummer though, to see that many Knicks fans in when the Sixers are like a real team, you know, they're a real team with a star player, two star players. And it was a bit of a bummer that the Sixers have not given them that. I would say that the bummer is the Sixers have not given those people a reason so far to be excited enough to be like, you know what? No, I'm not selling tickets. I'm going to the game. It was just a bummer.
Yeah.
That's all.
Yeah. Oubre crashing his Lamborghini.
Oh, it was actually, so I know the report was that he crashed the Lamborghini, but actually what happened was, is he was on a bike and a and car hit him.
And that's what you're alluding to. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. It sucks.
Look, play good. Crash it again tonight. You play that good offensively. You're willing to shoot. Crash it again tonight, buddy. As long as you're okay, you keep crashing it, man. I don't care. Insurance will cover it.
TMZ said he ran a red light and totaled another car. So, first of all, I'm glad that the other person is not harmed and he's not harmed. Kelly.
Yeah, everybody's fine.
Maybe stay away from streets for a little while. Just take a helicopter everywhere. Josh Harris, maybe get him a helicopter, you know, get him a chauffeur or something.
Derek just tweeted that Joel said he started having migraines a day or two before the play-in against Miami, which were the first symptoms. God, that is really hard to play in with all the shit he's got and a fucking 50 burger tonight.
Yeah.
And a win. Do it again on Saturday. Sunday.
Yeah. Here's my thought for the rest of the series. Why don't we win on Sunday and then win game five?
What do you think? Yeah. I like that. Yeah. Really good campaign quote. Energy costs nothing.
Oh, he's the best. That guy's my fucking dog.
That's a great quote.
Every time he hits a shot, he dances up court like he's in an N1 mixtape game or something.
Yeah.
It's the best.
And he was a guy who was drafted out of Murray State and was sort of seen as just really a pretty solid mid-round bust. Comes back, has a good playoff run with the Suns, has a good time with Milwaukee, and then gets buried a little bit. And now he's back and he's just like, he makes shit happen, man. And he's not consistent enough to do it all the time, but like, he can lock in, he can snap to grid, he can fucking hit those threes, he can dance and get to his floater. He's a decent enough passer.
Has the weirdest form.
Very weird form.
Very weird.
So, I mean, look, keep doing this. We'll build you a statue. We'll build you a very small statue.
Mm-hmm. Tiny little statue.
Tiny little statue.
Campaign right next statue. To the tiny Iverson statue.
Yeah. Oh, thank God. Thank God they won. Thank God they won.
Yeah. I was nervous all day.
That's the difference. I think AU might have said this, but that's the difference of like Sixers fans and Knicks fans. And maybe some Sixers fans do it afterwards. I don't really participate in like post-win cocky talk because I just feel nervous. I just feel anxious about the next one. But like Knicks fans are, this is still early for them in their like relevance of like a team that matters a little bit. And so they're like, it's always going to work out. Here we are. We're storming our way through and it's just going to get better from here. And we've just had so many Sixers disappointments. When's the next shoe going to drop? How are they going to blow it in the last minute? Whatever it is. And the Knicks are just like, obviously Maxi rules and there's a lot of fun guys on the team, but the Knicks are as a team, like as a holistic team unit, the more fun team to root for.
Sure.
They like play a style and an aggressiveness and an energy and athleticism that is just like, that is just more fun to watch. But their fans are not quite, they've been hardened by years of like futility and irrelevance, but like they haven't had enough playoff slip ups to like cut down the cockiness. And I feel none of that. I feel only dread, just dread. And then afterwards we exhale and then more dread.
Knicks fans are this weird combination. And again, I've spent years around them now, but they're this weird combination now of they're constantly complaining about not getting respect and national respect, about how good they are, about how good Jalen Brunson is, blah, 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 blah. But then when you move them into the category of, okay, well, then are you going to win a championship? And they're like, well, no, we're not there yet. It's like, there's only a few different kinds of conversations about NBA teams. There's teams good enough to win a championship, and if you don't, they ask why not. There's shitty teams. There's rebuilding up-and-coming teams. And then there's everybody else that gets completely ignored. You cannot complain about not getting respect about how good you are and then also say you don't want to be held to the same standard as every other team who is in that position. Knicks are the 2 seed. The Sixers are the 7 seed. The Knicks were favored to win the series. So, like, you're getting respected. Like, stop whining is my position to them. And by the way, as you sort of hinted there, very fun to root for and scrappy and plays hard, pivots real quick if you don't, like, win anything. Sure. Is, you know, like, all of a sudden you wake up, like, Knicks, whenever their season ends this year, they will wake up and say, okay, well, who are we going to add? Because you can't just come back with the same team next year. Whatever. Yeah.
Joel says he was trying to make sure Mitch Robinson didn't land on him, the play that he was called a flagrant one for. And I get it. And I'm sure that was part of it. But that was an aggressive shove when the guy was about to go up. You grabbed him and then it was like a grab, pull, and then a shove afterwards. And look, I would have done the same thing. And people calling Embiid a dirty player, I understand why you would do that, why you would say that. For sure. They just got to get hot. They got to get hot. They got to hit the shots. They got to stay healthy. They got to get downhill. They got to get to the line. And they got to get to the rim. They got to not fucking double too much. They got to force them to take tough shots.
Okay. We will talk to you after the game on Sunday. Go Sixers. We're not dead yet. Are you down with TTP?
You know, lick face. Yeah, for sure.
If you don't fuck with me, then I won't fuck with you. If you don't fuck with me, then I won't fuck with you. But if you fuck with me,
I'm gonna fucking kill you!
Time for plan B.